In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As we all know, we are approaching the end of the Coptic year, and that's why you find the readings encouraging us to look at what we have and examine ourselves and our lives. That's why the gospel of this blessed Sunday, we hear it is about the parable of the wicked stewards. Those people were entrusted over a vineyard. The owner of the vineyard, expecting they will give him fruits in due time, then he started to send messengers to receive these fruits. They dealt with them harshly. They rejected them. At the end, the owner of the vineyard thought that maybe when I will send my son, they will have some regard to him. Unfortunately, this was not the case. They took him, seized him, and they killed him. So the owner of the vineyard, he has no option except to take the vineyard altogether from them and give it to others. This parable was said, meant the Pharisees and the scribes, the people of the Old Testament, who instead of bringing fruits from the vineyard, that's the church they were entrusted upon, on the contrary, they rejected everyone, the prophets, and even they killed the Son of God, the heir of the vineyard. For us, many lessons are there for us to think about, to learn from. The first one is, the Son comes not only to be received by words, but also to receive fruits. This is a very important thing. Imagine this scenario, that the people, the workers in the vineyard, when they saw the Son coming, they lifted up banners and they cheered for the Son, welcome to the Son of the owner of the vineyard. And at the end of the day, when he came, he didn't find fruits. What will be the case? It exactly will be the same. He will still take it from those wicked vine dressers and take it away from them and give it to others. People who are going to be judged in the last day, some of them are like those people. They rejected the Son. They did not accept him altogether. They lived their life opposing, resisting his words, his work in them. Other people, unfortunately, from among those people who cheered for the Son by the word of the mouth, but at the end of the day, their life were empty. There is no fruit. God, when he will look upon us as his children, it is not a passport that I am Christian. The name of God is called upon me. I welcome the Son of the owner. But where is the fruits in my life? That's why the Lord, at the conclusion of his sermon on the mountain, he said to the people, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. If you really planted in the vineyard, then you should bear good fruit. Nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Do not be deceived when thinking that if the Son will come, I will greet him. I will welcome him. I will say sweet words in celebration of his coming. He will still request fruits from you. Where are the fruits? Where is the love, the meekness, the gentleness, the long-suffering? Where is the worship that is from your heart? It is by your spirit. All of these are still requested, and we have to be very careful. When the Son comes, he will request fruits. The second lesson we can learn from this parable is the rejection of God's fair judgment will never abolish his justice. What do you mean by this? Look at this dialogue between the Lord and the Pharisees. He said to them, therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said what? Certainly not. Why not? Because they don't like it. They don't agree with it. But does this going to change God's judgment? This is exactly what happened now in our age. We live in an age of profanity. We all know this, where sin is very vocal. And everyone who even lives in immorality can go and brag about it. Not only so, but the people, whenever they hear the word of God in the gospel, speaking about a day when he will come to judge the world, what do they say? Certainly not. No, he's not going to do it. Why? God is merciful. What is here, this mix between God being merciful and also being just? The people dare now to challenge God's word and say, certainly not. He's not going to judge anybody. What are you talking about? When you tell the people this is written in the Bible, then the answer is, how do you know that this is accurate? The Bible was mistranslated, but not collected in a good way. What are we talking about? Those people who say to him in his face, certainly not, will be the first people who will pay for their negligence and ignorance. Do not deceive yourself. Do not allow others to deceive you. When they will come and tell you, God will never judge anyone. God will just give mercy to anyone, even those people who reject him, even those people who did not bear any fruits out of their lives. The third lesson we learned from the parable of today, the Lord spoke about a cornerstone. And he said that if anyone fall on this one, he will be bruised. But if this cornerstone will fall upon some, he will crush them into powder. What is the meaning? We all know that the cornerstone is the Lord Christ himself. And the Lord here is speaking about his first coming and his second coming. In his first coming, he gave it to the people the right to reject him. The people who rejected the cornerstone, they stumble in him. Actually, they live their lives bruised. They are hurting it themselves. Every time they look at his commandment, they stumble. I don't feel comfortable with it. Then I choose to live away from him. When I do this, I just hurt myself. But in his second coming, he is not coming the second time for people to receive or to reject him. He will fall from heaven upon those people who rejected him, and at that time, he will crush them into powder. This is what's going to happen. God in his first coming comes as a savior. In the second coming, he will come as a judge. He said this to us. People mix things up. They will always think that he will always come as a savior in the first and the second time. Then who is going to judge the earth then? He said that everything was given to me from the Father. I was given authority to judge all the world. This is the difference between him coming the first time. Whoever rejects him will stumble and him will bruise himself. But in his second coming, whoever rejected him, the cornerstone will fall upon him. At that time, he will crush him into powder. The fourth lesson, that God's love to us is shown in his patience and long suffering. We hear about this in the first epistle of St. Peter when he said, when once the divine long suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. Part of love, love is patient. If you say you love your children, you love your husband, you love your wife, then you have to be patient and you wait. God's love is shown in his patience. People understand it differently sometimes. They misunderstand his patience and think about it, it's because God doesn't care. He has some indifference towards what is going on. No, he is watching everything. But because he loves us, then he is waiting patiently. Waiting patiently, and this patience should be rewarded from our side. Do not misunderstand God or misinterpret his patience and long suffering. It is a sign of love. It's a sign of love towards you and me. If God gets short with us, we will be destroyed in a minute. We wouldn't live till tomorrow, till we take the second breath. But God in his patience is in his love showing patience. If you really love anyone and you care about him, maybe you need to show this in your patience with him. I know that we all have limits. We all come to a point where we say, that's the end of me. But with God, it's a story is different. His love is infinite and his patience is with no match. God's patience as well is active, is not passive. While he was waiting for the vine dressers to bring fruits, what he was doing, he was not just counting the sheep in his barn. No, he was sending messengers, one after another, warning the people, asking them that, woke up and bring fruits. This is what God is doing now. In his love, he is patient, and in his patience, he is active. He is working. He is sending to every one of us every day a messenger, one way or another, person to speak with us, something we observe, something that comes to our ears and tell us, repent, God is waiting for you to come back. Maybe actually sometimes God messengers, maybe are problems that he allows it to creep into our lives. Maybe accidents that we see, many things that we observe, young people die, for example, that with no reason. This is something, a messenger, that tells me and you, wake up and think about the fruits. Maybe this is your time to be asked about what did you do with your vineyard. God's patience is active. Also, with all of us, to learn this from God, we have to be patient, and also we have to be active in our patience. We work while we wait. It's not just waiting passively, doing nothing, and hope for the best, but rather to work, do something, move forward, and then wait upon the Lord to come and deliver you. The last point that we learn from the Gospel of this Blessed Sunday is God's patience is to be appreciated through our repentance. His love should not be just saying that this is God, so what? No, his patience is waiting for our repentance, because again, if we do not repent, then we reject the cornerstone, and this will be a problem. Here, St. Paul to the Romans says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? When we do not repent, what we actually are doing is we are despising his long-suffering and forbearance. We are thinking of them as something that's, so what? Not because God is not punishing me today, then I think that I'm okay, or God is happy with what I'm doing, or it's fine even to reject him to the end. Don't do this. Do not despise his goodness. This is something that will cost, and will cost much. God's patience is a sign of his love, and he is active in his patience. The way you reward or you appreciate is you to repent. God is not expecting anything from any of us except to repent, and this is for our own benefit. So today, these lessons are for all of us to meditate upon at the end of this Coptic year, approaching almost the end. Let us think about them and make them something for our prayers in order for the Word of God to work in us and we bear fruits. First of all, remember that the Son comes not only to be received by words, to be cheered for him, but also to receive fruits. Where are the fruits in your life? Secondly, the rejection of God's fair judgment will never abolish his justice. When we deny him and say that he will never judge the people, this is not going to change the fact that he will certainly come and he will judge everyone. Thirdly, he is the cornerstone. If we reject him at his first coming, we fall upon him. We stumble in him, we bruise ourselves. In his second coming, he will come as a cornerstone to crush and fall upon those who do not accept him at all. Number four, God's love is shown in his patience and his long suffering. A lesson for all of us, if we love, we have also to learn from him to be patient. Number five, God's patience is active and always at work. While he is waiting, he is sending messengers every day to everyone. At the end, God's patience is to be appreciated through our repentance. This is the way we tell him, thank you, God, for being such a kind and merciful and patient Father and Master. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.